So take your Bibles, turn back to the Old Testament lesson read earlier today in the book of Habakkuk. We are looking at various texts throughout the book. It's a short book, only three chapters long, but a powerful message from the prophet. You know, Advent, it's the start of the new church year, and for the last several years, I have taken it as something of a discipline or a spiritual discipline for myself to think of it as the beginning of my new year. I like marking it according to the time of the church year as opposed to necessarily the regular calendar. And as the start of the new year, we often think about the time of waiting that is building. To the coming of Jesus and of the great joy of this season as we anticipate celebrating once again the greatest gift that has ever been given. You know, for me, I love the challenge of preaching, and I love preaching. It's probably my favorite thing to do as a pastor. But I have to confess that I really struggled with this text and this sermon this week. Here's the reason. There's so much joy in this season, right? 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la, you know. And then you weigh that against all the brokenness in the world. And it's not only in our personal worlds that, if we're honest with ourselves, we find that brokenness and those things that are deeply painful or hurting to us, but it's the larger world as well. I was thinking about the migrant caravan this week, and I don't believe they're an invading horde. I believe they just want to make a better life for themselves. And the pain that, and the struggle that they have. We think about the victims of the campfire and the other big wildfire in California, and how their lives have gone up in smoke, right? Gone up in smoke. And we can name more and more on and on. I was reading in the Tribune yesterday about a gang member on the South Side Chatham neighborhood. He was he's about to be tried for murder. Been in prison for 4 years, and they told the story of his victim, also a gang member. Somebody loved both those guys. And God sure did, and sure does. And their lives are hellish. It's horrible. How much of it they brought upon themselves? I don't know that that impacts the way God loves them at all. So 'tis the season to be jolly. It's hard sometimes if we're honest with ourselves and with others. And then you come to a book like Habakkuk. Habakkuk begins as a lament about sin and the devastation that it has created, and it is a complaint. It begins as a complaint against God as to why God hasn't fixed it. Now you go back, let's look at it again at the beginning of the text. The NIV adds this heading over verses 2 through 4, Habakkuk's complaint. I think a better word there would be Habakkuk's lament. And this is what Habakkuk says. How long, Lord, must I call out for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Now remember, this is Habakkuk talking to God. Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflicts abound. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. And then the Lord answers Habakkuk. That begins in verse 5, and it continues through much of chapter 1. I'll just read the first two verses. This is God's answer to Habakkuk's lament. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings that are not their own. Now, before we get to God's response, we need to just sit with Habakkuk's lament. There's a great power in lament. And here's where the power comes from. It's the power to name reality, to be honest with God, and as we learn from the text, from the prophet, to question God. Why aren't you doing anything about this? That's what he says. So there's a couple qualities about lament that makes it, I think, faithful and biblical. One is that it is honest. You hear that clearly in verses 2 and 3 of the text. It doesn't try to put a spiritual spin on it so that it'll seem more holy or better. It just is honest about the reality. And then there's this longing for God to make everything right. That's another quality of faithful biblical lament, a longing that God would do what we know God can do. So Habakkuk does that, and then God answers him by saying that he's going to use the Babylonians to judge the wickedness that Habakkuk sees all around him among the Israelites. Well, there's no comfort and joy there, right? I mean, basically, what God says to Habakkuk is it's going to get worse before it ever gets better. And God is telling Habakkuk, and you read this beginning in verse 5 all the way through verse 11 of chapter 1, that the Babylonians would punish Judah, the people of God who are sinning, and that's what Habakkuk is lamenting, but he's going to punish them with those who are more wicked than they are. That's what God was going to do. And so, quite naturally, this leads Habakkuk into a second lament. And that begins in verse 12 of chapter 1. Let me just read one verse out of that. We didn't read it earlier, but verse 13 says, this is Habakkuk crying out to God, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves?" Biblical lament that is faithful is never delusional. It doesn't deny the reality of what one sees around one. Lament speaks truth. Truth as we know it, as we see it, as we experience it, to power. You hear that phrase a lot these days, right? Speaking truth to power. That's what lament does. It speaks the truth as we know it, as we experience it, as we see it, to the ultimate power and the ultimate authority in all creation, which is the Lord God. But lament, as we move through this text, has another wonderful byproduct. Lament frees us to listen to God's response. And it frees us to do that because we can honestly say, we've spoken our peace, P-I-E-C-E, not P-E-A-C, but our peace to God. We've said what's on our heart. We've described it honestly as best we know it. And you see the prophet does that. It's in verse 1 of chapter 2, if you want to look at your Bibles. He speaks his second lament to the Lord, and then he says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, meaning the Lord, will say to me and what answer I am to give this complaint. Now, the answer Habakkuk is to give, it's what he's saying there, he wants to give a response to the people of Judah. Because this lament that Habakkuk has spoken to the Lord, it's not only his own, but it's one that he is speaking for other faithful Israelites when they voice their laments to God. And so he says, I'm going to stand on the ramparts. I'm going to watch for it. I'm going to listen. I don't know that we can hear God in the deepest places of our lives when we realize the pain that exists either in our own world or in the larger world around us, unless we lament first. Lament opens our ears to listen to God's response. And this is the response that God gives. It begins in verse 2 of chapter 2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end. Now that's significant. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. I think what honest biblical lament does, as modeled by the prophet Habakkuk, is that it creates a space for faith to wait on God. It creates a space for us to receive the promise and to remember God's goodness and God's grace. To remember God's faithfulness and love revealed in the scriptures and those times we have experienced it in our own lives. And so, God says to Habakkuk, he says to us, see, the enemy is puffed up. And for Habakkuk, the historical context for that is he's referring to the Babylonians. But all the enemies that sin creates in the world that is against life flourishing under the grace and love of Christ. He says, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his, in the NIV, faithfulness, will live by faith. In other words, the righteous person will live by trusting in this promise that God has made, this revelation that awaits an appointed time that we are called to linger and wait for. No matter what our current circumstances, no matter how bad things are in the world. In staff meeting this week, we were just talking about a little bit about the Advent season, and Desiree brought up all the various folks in scriptures that had to wait for the coming of the Messiah, whether it be the prophet Isaiah some 600 or 700 years to wait for the arrival of. Can you imagine that? Giving prophecies and not, you know, being long gone, dead and gone before the Messiah ever is born. Whether it be Simeon that waited at the temple to see the salvation of God, or all, just you think about all the biblical characters in the story that waited for the coming of Jesus, many of whom never were there when he was born or lived long before Christ arrived. Habakkuk is one of them. Habakkuk died, in all likelihood, while the people of Judah were still in captivity to the Babylonians. But what he had to hold on to was this promise from God. And as he remembered the story of God's grace and God's mercy to him and his people, he could weather this time when things were really horrible because he had been honest with God, and it had opened him up then to receive the word of promise in faith. And that's how he had to live from that point on. And that's how we have to live from that point on. In the Roman Catholic Church, there's this tradition when it comes to Advent of thinking of history, mystery, and majesty. And here's what they mean by that, what my Catholic brothers and sisters mean by that. History is when we remember the first coming of Jesus, that first Advent, which we are building toward now in this season to remember that. Mystery is living with Jesus having come, but the kingdom of God not fully arrived yet. That's the time in between, right? It's the time we live in now as we await his second coming, his return, when he's going to finally make all things right. No more suffering, no more sorrowing, no more sickness, no more wildfires, no more gangs. The kingdom of God, which will fully come when Jesus returns. And in between the majesty is the mystery of faith that we sometimes find hard to make sense out of, find hard to sing, "Tis the season to be jolly," because we know the world is a pretty broken place, or our own worlds are pretty broken. But to live with faith in the season of mystery between the first and the second comings. And that's where Habakkuk got. He got to that place. Turn with me to the last part of the text that was read earlier. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. The whole third chapter of Habakkuk is a prayer. This is the end of it. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." And Ben, I'm glad you read the last part of that text for the director of music of my stringed instruments. I think that's how Ben said it, right? Because this prayer was set to music by Habakkuk. He sung it. He sung it. And what he says there, no matter what life around me says, and remember, once again, in the prayer, you're seeing Habakkuk be honest. "Even if all these things are true, I will rejoice because I trust in the God who has made the promise, and he will lift me up." I struggled a lot this week with this text and with sharing it. You know, it's Intergenerational Sunday, first Sunday of Advent. We got the children in here, you know, joy, joy, joy. I just want you to hear and acknowledge for all of us, a lot of life is hard. A lot of life is unfair. There's a lot of sorrow in the world, and maybe a lot of sorrow in your personal world. And God gives us a way to speak to that by lament. And it is possible to hold both sorrow and hope together in one life. Sorrow and hope together. And we have to. I think that's what gives our faith an authenticity and our witness an integrity. When we can acknowledge that pain, but not let that pain have the last word. And somehow, thanks be to God, Habakkuk got there. So even though the fig tree not bear fruit, even though there are no grapes on the vine, and the fields produce no food, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. Thanks be to God. Amen.